The professor pulled his shirt over his nose, but it hardly impeded the stench, and he nearly gagged. He had to admit that looking at a freshly dead man was not the same as looking at a 1,000-year-old skeleton. Who knelt by the dead man and inspected him the same way he would a find on a dig. The thing that stood out immediately was that a large section of the back of his head was missing. When Hu studied the man's face, he spotted what looked like a bullet hole above his right eye. The corpse was dressed in loose, lightweight clothing. He was clean-shaven, and the nails of the hand that hadn't been savaged by the carrion feeders were clean and smooth. Dr. Hu could tell that he hadn't been a common laborer either. Tattoos showed beneath the sleeve of one arm. He slid the sleeve back, trying to avoid the dried blood that spattered the fabric. The interwoven tattoos traveled up the man's arms. The body had become slightly bloated in the heat, but Hu could still clearly make out a skin and ink tapestry of myths and legends. Song joined Hu on the ground, but didn't come close to the dead man.
Look at his arms. He had to have been a triad member. We should get out of here. Wherever there's one, there's always another. They don't work alone.
Then maybe there's someone else out here that needs help. Let's spread out and take a look.
Hu headed for the high ridge with his binoculars, while the rest of the group rode out in ever-widening circles, not sure what they were looking for, but hoping they wouldn't find anything.
Professor! Professor!
Hu turned in the direction of Song's voice. At first, he was unable to spot the man through the desert haze, so he used his binoculars. Not far from where he had left the other three men, he saw his colleague standing at the mouth of a cave.
I found their camp! Over here!
Hu crouched down to rest beside Song, as Yao and the other local surveyed the base camp more closely. From their vantage point, it was clear that the camp was simple and stripped down. There were sleeping bags, a couple weeks' worth of supplies, and about enough water for a similar amount of time. Though there was no clear sign of transportation, there were weapons and a telescope. There was even a radio that Song had determined to be set at archaeology base camp's frequency. The two locals returned to the mouth of the cave, where Hu and Song waited with the four camels.
How many men do you think were here, Yao?
I could only find the tracks of two men. No more than that. Someone else had to have brought them here, though. It would be impossible to come this far on foot, especially with that much water.
Yao nodded at the large plastic containers against the wall. Song found a flashlight among the stack of supplies closest to the entrance and switched it on. The battery still worked, meaning the device likely hadn't been sitting in the heat for long. Passing the beam before him, Song stepped into the cave and strode towards the back. Hu tried to wrap his mind around everything, but kept coming up with the same answer. Guy Quan Yin had to be involved. The man had to have sent these men to spy on him and his expedition. What he couldn't be sure of was who killed them and why.
Hey! I found another guy in here! He's still breathing!
Hu plunged into the cave without hesitation, but Yao slipped his rifle's safety off and took up a defensive position covering the cave's entrance. The man that Song had spotted was sprawled across rocky dirt about two-thirds of the way into the cave. He looked to be no older than his mid-20s, and he too had a patchwork of tattoos wrapping up his thick arms. It appeared that he too had been shot. He had a gaping wound to his abdomen, and judging by the pallor of his features, had nearly bled out.
Get the medical kit and some water.
Hu knelt beside the man as Song turned to run for the necessary items. Hu needed only to give a quick examination of the man to realize that it wasn't worth holding out much hope for his survival. Song returned with the water. Hu poured some of it over a cloth and pressed it against the wounded man's lips. He was careful to ensure that the man didn't aspirate the water and drown. As the liquid touched his lips, the man's eyes flickered open. He grabbed a fistful of Hu's shirt with his bloody hand.
You must stop her.
You must relax. We're going to get you to a hospital. Conserve your strength.
No. She's still here.
Who's still here? Is someone else still alive?
The fox spirit. It was the fox spirit that did this.
Once dinner was finished, Anya had done the dishes and put them away. Pouring herself and Rue each another glass of wine, she walked over to her couch, finally able to relax after several days of hardship.
Okay, Rue. Cut to the chase. What do you want from me?
I need your help in recovering an object.
Why should I help you?
Because you want to.
No, I don't. I just want to know what you know.
It is a shame to ruin the digestion of such a good meal with such heavy conversation.
My digestion isn't going to be affected.
Without my help, you can't go to China.
Who said I wanted to?
You did. The instant you set foot on that plane in California.
Yeah, well, I'm working on getting the show to pay for the trip.
Oh, really? Is that why you've been dodging your producer's calls for the last few days?
I have no intention of traveling anywhere right now.
Anya, you are quite inept at lying. Of course you intend to head to China. Lulan, more specifically, because that's where the answers are.
Answers? I don't even know what the questions are.
The man who accompanied you to the grave in Volcanoville was hired by a man named Guy Kuan Yin. Does that name mean anything to you?
No.
He's a very wealthy businessman. He's well connected in China, England, and Canada. He's starting to make some inroads in the United States.
Guy wanted the belt plaque?
Indeed.
Why?
Because he believes in the legends of the City of the Sands.
He thinks there's some kind of treasure there.
Oh, I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a treasure there.
Is that why you're interested?
No. Getting treasure of any size out of China in this day and age would be problematic. I'm not after treasure. I already have great fortunes, as they grow each and every day.
Then what are you after?
Something that was lost.
What something?
I can't go into that, I'm afraid.
So I'm supposed to just drop everything I'm doing and go with you to China?
If you don't, I'll go without you.
Then why do you need me?
Because you're an archaeologist, Anya. This is what you do. Your curiosity about the past drives you forward in your own life.
But you've lived through a lot of those years.
That's a problem, you see. I've lived through those years, but not studied them. I don't know history the way you do.
It might help if I knew what you're looking for.
If you find the City of the Sands, it will be there, or it won't.
You've had all this time. Why didn't you go get it before now?
Lulan City died out in the 5th century. Do you know why?
No one does.
Really? Pity. That might have answered some questions I had. Oh, well. Everyone has always thought that if Lulan had died, so had the City of the Sands.
Because Sha Wu Ying died?
We can only hope that he is dead. After all, they say he was immortal. When he was alive, he was a lot of trouble.
What kind of trouble?
He interfered with things. And he tried to harness powers that he had no right to. As you know, there are items of incredible power in this world. Joan's sword, your sword now, is just one of those tools among many. It was up to the individual who possessed them to choose how he or she wanted to use them. Over the years, many have been lost to this world, but a few have been lost in it.
Sha Wu Ying stole one?
One such object, yes.
What is it?
An object of the greatest evil, Anya. More than that, I cannot, dare not say.
Okay, Rue. Let's just say that I can help you find the City of the Sands. If I do, what are you prepared to do with your mysterious object if it's still there?
I don't know yet. But I know that it must be found.
Why?
Because Garin is looking for it too.